Good morning. Good to be here. Good to see everybody here. Okay, a couple announcements. Deacons meeting on May 28th, and then the Lord's Supper will be on June 25th. And also, I think you saw the bulletin, or some of you did. We have Vacation Bible School coming up next month on June 12th through 15th. And you see, you can register there and just spread the word if you think anyone might be interested. And I think the most important part of this is to pray. You see the bottom there. It says, we would like to ask all of you to help promote this special event and to please pray for the directors and the teachers as they are preparing for the incredible race. So it's a big deal. We've never done it before. So I know they've been doing a lot of planning and preparation and all those kinds of things. So God is guiding us the whole way, as we like to do and see. So we'll just continue to let Him work it out. So just continue to pray for Him. And I think that's all I have. And we'll go ahead and dismiss the children. Here we are to number 9 and 10 on Christian responsibility. Moving along. Before we get going, let's take a moment of silent prayer, and that just means for us that we can kind of shift gears and get into a place that God allows us to be, which is in the filling of the Spirit, and also to be guided by His power. So that's an important thing, because when we hear the word, we can't just hear it and receive it. We have to have God helping us to receive it properly, and the Holy Spirit does a wonderful job of that, actually does a perfect job, right? So let's go ahead and take a moment, and we do that by simply naming our sins to God the Father, and He is then faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So that's a grace gift that he's given us as well. So let's take a moment, and we'll do that silently, and then I'll pray and we'll get going. Let's pray. Dear Father, we just thank you so much for the ability to make it here today and to see people face to face. It's a blessing to be able to teach and to be able to learn and to be able to grow in your plan as you see fit. I just thank you for this congregation. Thank you for the things that you are continually doing to and through our people and our church. I'd just like to ask that you continue to show us the way and keep us as close as possible, and so we don't drift away. And I just thank you for the receptiveness and the positive volition of the people, and ask that we can concentrate today in a way that is glorifying to you. We ask these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So here we are, still on number 13, if you remember. There it is. I don't think I have to read it by now. You've all probably have it memorized. But we're actually on that last part, which has to do with, of course, prayer and support by means of service, your service, my service, which includes, of course, all kinds of things. One of them is giving, but that's just one little bitty piece of service. I think we've been kind of seeing that there's a lot more that goes into support, right? Support doesn't just cover monetary support. It covers many, many, many areas of support. So it's interesting to me to see that there's an attitude that goes with every one of those areas. So that's kind of what we've been talking about. And what we've been seeing is, at least what Paul has been showing us, is he's been giving us the example of the Macedonians, and he was showing us how they have a generous soul. Their generosity was rooted in them in a way that is kind of unusual, at least as far as today's standards are concerned, because they were in poverty and they were in distress and they were giving like no one else was giving. So, which is interesting because you think just the opposite, right? And that's how the human mind works. But this also shows us that God gives us things that are more powerful than anything the world can throw at you. They had an attitude that was not based on what was happening. It was a spiritual issue, right? This was something that was inside of their soul, despite the circumstance, despite the lack of things that they maybe others might have looked and said, but they don't have a lot, right? They shouldn't be in a position to do what they're doing, but they were. And I think it's a good, very good example, but they were generous, and they didn't have much or not much, at least as far as the scripture told us, because it says they were in poverty. But we know that we can have everything, and we do have everything. And this is what God provides us. And I think when we latch or tap into that everything or that infiniteness that He gives us access to, then we can do the same thing. There's no doubt in my mind that just because we live in a fallen world that we can be happy. God has given us that option to be happy and to enjoy the things that He wants us to enjoy. So they did it, and they're a good example of that. And you know, so many people give, but they do it wrongly. They do it wrongly, and that's why I'm trying to get across to you that we want to do this thing as unto the Lord. We want to do it rightly. We want to be motivated properly, and we want to do it with generosity, not because of something external. We want to do it from something that's on the inside in the soul, right? So keep that in mind, because so many people give based on guilt or give based on something that they think they're supposed to do or fill in the blank, right? There's so many reasons you can give that are not glorifying to God except for one, right? We know that we have to be properly motivated, and guilt isn't a biblical motivation that God desires from us. That's a sin, right? We don't want to do something in a way that is unpleasing to God. So, you know, it just reminds me, I can't tell you how many funerals I've been to where there's been some kind of fund set up, or there's been some kind of great donations to the, you know, this great cause of these children or to cancer or to something great, and you have this individual that ignored God their whole life. How does that fit into the plan of God? You have to ask yourself, God comes first. What we give and what we don't give is an issue between you and God. It's not just to give the people a show. It's not just to give them a good taste in their mouth at the end of the funeral. This is between you and God, right? The giving is secondary. That's a secondary portion. Giving, as we're talking about it here, is a worship as unto the Lord. That's really what it is, right? It's not to end on a good note. And I'm not saying there's necessarily anything wrong with a fund or wrong with a donation to a good cause. What I'm telling you is that what I see and what you see can be completely detached from what's inside someone's soul when it comes to giving. So just be careful about that, because, you know, there's a lot of people that say, okay, well, they were a good person just because they did that. Well, were they a good person? Did you know them? Maybe, maybe not. But many times from what I've seen, and I've done quite a bit of funerals, is that they end on that good note of giving, but they ignored God their whole life. And, you know, to me, that's just a waste and just a smokescreen of trying to glorify self, human beings, and not glorify God, which is just the opposite of what we should be doing. So, but you know, I think there are many people who do that with right motivation as well. So it goes both ways. I just want you to be aware, right, of what we're dealing with here, because it's not just about the outward works. So, and don't think God will get excited just because you set up a fund. He may. It just depends on what's inside of you. You know, you can't ignore him your whole life and then think he's going to get excited right before you die. That's just not how that works. So, but that's pretty normal these days. People like to get the cart before the horse when it comes to the spiritual life, right? You got the cart, horse. Maybe the horse is pushing. I don't know how that works. But it is kind of different. But many times that's how it works. And I think you get the idea on that. But we can't give God lip service and expect to go through the motions of the Christian way of life and call it genuine Christian service. Genuine Christian service happens in the mind, right? Happens in the soul. Happens through what you think. And, you know, don't beat yourself up or somebody else up by what I'm saying, because we all fall into this category in bigger, smaller ways. We've all given wrongly at one point in our life. You know, this is a learning process. I'm not up here preaching because I've done it right all my life. No, I'm preaching because I'm learning how to do it correctly, and I want you to know how to do it correctly. That's the whole point of spiritual growth, right? We learn, our eyes become open, and we say, okay, that's not right, so I need to do it differently. And that's the whole objective here. So I don't want you to go through the motions as well. So anyways, you get the idea. The reality is that people need to put in the time where the time needs to be put in. God has laid that out for us, and he tells us that he's very specific to spiritual growth and living that out in your personal life. You know, that takes effort. I'm not going to lie. That takes effort on your part. It takes a decision every day to wake up and say, I'm going to pay God attention. Not I'm going to go do something. He wants you to think differently, and that's the part that takes a little bit of effort. Instead of, I want to go do something just to feel better about myself. That's the easy way, right? That's what most people do as far as, you know, feeling better in this life about themselves. If we want to feel better, the only way to do that is through thinking with God's truth. 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 Remember, truth sets you free. Not only does it set you free spiritually, but it sets you free emotionally. It sets you free from unhappiness, from distress, from worry, from fear. Those are the things that truth sets us free from. Yes, it set us free at the cross positionally, but it continues to set you free in your personal life day to day. And I go back to that takes you, I guess, showing up, right? And I don't mean physically here. I just mean showing up to the front doorstep of God and his plan and saying, God, what do you want? What do you think? Because there's a lot of ideas about what the spiritual life is all about. But at the end of the day, what does God want? It's not about what I want or what I create. That's why I try to get as close as I can to the scripture to show you that this is from God and I'm trying to figure out what he wants, right? So I think that's a simple concept that most pastors, every pastor should want for their congregation. So so God gives us all these things. They're available. And my point is, why ignore them? Why ignore them? If these things are so great and for us to tap into the grace of God, that's what we're really talking about, because we want to be able to have that generous mindset that comes with God's grace. Because remember, this is to us, and the idea is to take it and transfer it to other people. If we want to be gracious, we have to do it God's way. We can't do it our way. We have to do it God's way, as many times as we would like to do that. So, so we have to recognize, I think the first part, is to recognize the source of why and how we can even give in the first place. The source of all things. The source of why we can wake up and enjoy the day, right? The grace of God covers a large area, as you know. It covers every day that you're awake. That's the grace of God. So when we begin to realize, okay, this is the reason why things are actually ticking this way, it's because of God's grace, maybe we can redirect our thinking towards Him and give Him some recognition in all this. And that's the idea. So you can't assume that when you give your whatever you give, time, money, ideas, that you're somehow turned into a good person. I know that's what the world will tell you. That's what people will see and think, but God sees the heart. I don't see the heart. God sees the heart. So whatever image we're trying to create is a separate issue we're talking about here, right? I'm not talking about your image before people. I'm talking about your image before God and Christ. That's what the real issue is. So if that's intact, I would think we're on the right trail, on the right path to reciprocate that image. And that's what we're really getting down to, I think, is reciprocation, aren't we? We are. We're learning the grace of God, and we're learning to take it and then reciprocate it to other people. And that's what He wants. He doesn't want it to just stay with you. He wants His grace to go to other people, right? Just to spread. So we want to be pleasing to God, glorifying to Him. So let's pick back up with the examples that Paul was referring to in the Macedonians. And don't forget, you know, they were in a bad way. The Macedonians had been defeated, I want to say two or three times by Rome at this point in their career. So they were not doing very well. In fact, they were didn't have a lot to give, but they were still had the attitude to give. And here's verse 1. It says, "Now, brethren, we wish to make known to you the grace of God, which has been given in the churches of Macedonia." So Paul, he's showing them the example. Here you go, right? And if you remember, that word grace was started this whole thing off, right? That was the that's the most important driving factor of the next chapter and a half. 8 and 9. Chapter 8 and 9, grace, right here. And it actually pops back up again. I didn't expect it to, but it does. But this is the first mention of it. And just to remind you the definition of grace, it is divine, undeserved favor or kindness and mercy that we receive from God on the basis of His character. Not on the basis of something we do, it's on the basis of His character. In other words, you just receive it. You showed up and you just started receiving God's grace. That's how it works. Now, that's a key point, because if we're going to think this way too, undeservedness comes into the calculation, into your thought process. We didn't deserve it. It's divine. It's from God. The source is a good thing to know too, right? Because if God is the source, what are we doing? We're simply passing it on. We're simply like passing something on. Is it through you? Yes. Do you have to think? Yes. You're not a puppet, right? But you get the idea. It's from God through you and to other people. So, and I know I said this, but you know, many times the people that you give to, if you start getting into they should deserve it, you've lost sight of grace. You've lost sight of grace, because no one deserves anything technically, right? Just like we didn't deserve to have Jesus Christ die on the cross for our sins. That's the undeservedness that's where it's rooted in, right? Jesus Christ. The grace of God, we can see it very, very clearly in Jesus Christ. So so if you ever want to take advantage of that, we must do it as we saw in this verse. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. So there it was. Remember, we talked about that. This is a learning process. If you want to get to know somebody, what do? You spend time with them. You spend time with them. I want to get to know you. I spend time with you. The command for me is to get to know God. That's my first priority. And my second priority is to get that information to you so that you can get to know him as well. And there's so other many places that we can do that, right? God gives us many, many solid biblical pastor teachers. He gives us a lot of information. He gives us his word. So there's a lot of places to learn and grow spiritually, but this is where the grace and peace come from, is from the knowledge that is from God, goes into your soul with the Holy Spirit, remember, because that's required, and takes that information and turns it into wisdom. Wisdom is how we get through life successfully. That's how we get through life under God's plan for your specific life. And that's a good thing. So this is growing in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's a verse, right? We do. We know that verse. And I like how the growing comes with the grace. So it's not like you're waiting until the very end of the, you know, you get there, you grow, and then you get there. No, you're getting this constantly as you go in this direction. So God is on top of it, right? And then look at verse 3. Seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who has called us by his own glory. And I'm really convinced that this is the attitude underlying grace right here. That you realize that God has provided everything. And as you'll see, there's a lot of needs that people have, and we'll talk about that, but the realization is that everything means everything. I can't make that word mean anything else in the English. The Greek means everything. It covers it all. It covers it all. Your personal life, your professional life, your church life, your family life, everything. Even your health. I know some of us sometimes think, well, God forgot that one out. Where's grace on the health part? No, he got that one covered too. He has it covered for sure. So, and the point that I didn't mention on Wednesday is that part of being able to exercise grace in your own personal life is that we need to recognize that we don't have needs in the way we think we have needs. We don't have needs in the way we think we do. And that's important, because if God has already given us everything, remember, this word is in the perfect passive. It means it's already happened in the past. Passive means you're receiving it from him. If it's already happened, well, then we have to rethink what we actually think we need. That's a lot of thinking. We have to evaluate the needs that we're calculating as needs, right? Because this verse is refuting your thinking as far as what you need, is what it's telling me. I'm like, well, wait a minute. Okay, if God provided it, and it's in this life, well, then it's covered. Okay? So the idea is just that. What do you need? I would start there. Well, wait a minute. This verse is saying that's no longer an issue, right? It's technically saying that's no longer an issue. Not technically, truthfully saying that's no longer an issue. But wait a minute, I need a lot of things. All these things rush into our mind, the things that we need, don't they? They fill up really quick. Okay, this is it, right? How about God has provided you with the grace for the very times you don't have the things you think you need? Grace fills the gap, is another way to say that. Grace is the response by God for you to be happy without the thing you think you need. Grace is what is sufficient, and that's really the word that grace revolves around, doesn't it? Sufficiency. Remember Paul told us about that? You think, no, I need this medical procedure. I need this amount of money over here. I need this. See how we instantly push that aside and we say, no, I need this, and I need this. It's funny because, you know, we're human and I get it. I'm going through this problem, this adversity, and I really need this at this time. See how we can get very critical of our needs and how important my needs are? We all do it though, right? And I'll answer that by saying, no, you don't. No, you don't. No, you don't. I'm looking at everybody. No, you don't. In your mind, I see everybody's eyes going, yes, I do. Yes, I do. No, you don't. You don't. The only reason we think we need something is when we lose sight of the grace of God. That's the only time we think we need something. Now think about that. This is revolutionary. Because if we can think in a way where we do not need anything, that's what God has given you the ability to do. To live in a way to not want, let me rephrase that, to not need anything. And that comes with a way of thinking and understanding, but you can see how we have to apply this verse in a way that is meaningful in your own personal life. So, and when you do this, just remember this one word that we've been talking about. Paul showed it to us. My grace is sufficient for you. When we get into these times where we think we really, 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 really need something, God knows exactly what you think you need. He knows exactly. And what he's trying to get you to remember is his sufficiency in the time that you don't have whatever you think you need. And so you can really waste and spend a lot of time on thinking and chasing and doing something in relation to needs, at least subjective needs that I think are needs. But here, sufficiency will give you a lot of your time back. If you apply the sufficiency of God's grace in the time that you think you need it, say, you know what, God, here, you take it. If you don't think I need it, well then, there you go, you take it. Faith, right? You're trusting in God with that need. Because you have to think that God is God and he knows the details. He knows what level of intensity you think that need needs to take place or be fulfilled. So if God knows all these things, why do we waste so much time looking and searching and finding and running around trying to fulfill our own needs? I don't know. I think we could give ourselves a lot of time back. But don't forget this word, because the word sufficient means enough. It means enough. That's it. That's what it means, enough. You know, it's so basic. But when you ask me, okay, and I'll tell you I need this and I need that, I'm saying that I don't have enough. If I don't have what I need, I don't have enough. That look at the definition of enough. Sufficient to meet a need or satisfy a desire. An adequate number or quantity. A satisfactory amount or degree. I mean, it covers everything. Right? It covers levels, it covers numbers, it covers fluids. Covers age, covers health, I don't know, whatever. Everything's included in enough. I know it's a, you know, kind of a mind-blowing concept, but I think one way to figure out if you're applying this the way we should be is to think about what you think you need. Think about what you think you need and go from there. Most people go through life being motivated by what they need. Instead of what they don't need. You know, life is a lot easier to go through and live not thinking you need as much as you think you need. It's a lot easier. There's a lot less stress. There's a lot less worry. There's a lot less running around when you're not worried about the need. God has the need covered. He's got the need covered. That's what sufficiency is. It's enough. It is enough. So, even when there is maybe some discomfort, oh, well, how could God do that to me? Even when there's a little discomfort in the circumstances, there's enough. There's enough. God knows exactly how much and how long. He knows how to wind down and raise up, how to crank out, right, when he needs to. So we just need to ask ourselves, what do I need? And I'm going to tell you, you've got to begin to mark those off with a line and a pencil. Every single one of them. Because if you really think that God has no idea of what you think you need and that His grace doesn't cover that, we need to start from lesson one. Because we need to remember that this is something that God has in place in your life for a very, very specific reason. And if He's going to meet that need, we want to make sure that it's in His timing. Because He understands that you may need something. But if you don't need it at that moment, it's not a need until God provides it. Right? It's not a need. Or because God will provide it. If it's not there yet. So needs. We don't want our needs to drive our way of life, because that seems to be a lot of the motivation today. And I guess, you know, needs turn into filling or fulfilling those needs. And that can be a lifelong endeavor. Whether it be money, whether it be whatever, health, whether it be leisure. You know, we search things and seek them and desire them to fulfill those needs. But guess what? The only one that can fulfill it is the one that is enough. That's it. There's nothing in this life that is sufficient. Everything is lacking, inadequate, insufficient, not enough. So guess what happens when you get to that need and you fix it? You got something else that you need. All of a sudden, something else fills the gap, and now you need something else. So there's just so many needs. Everybody thinks they have needs, but we need to start marking them off. Because this can really turn into a hobby if you don't watch it. And all it takes is what? Understanding. 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 That's what God is trying to tell us. And also recalling, I think. Because when we forget, and we get in those times where we really think, I need this so bad right now. God, how can you let this go? Sufficiency. Sufficiency. He does know, and He understands, and He completely agrees that, hey, I feel your pain, but... That's where He comes in. It's not about our timing. It's about His timing. Even when it comes to relationships. You know, God, why is this happening in this way for so long? Obviously, it's for your benefit. We know that God does things for our benefit. There's something that we haven't learned. There's something that we haven't applied. Because remember, if we're going to grow through relationships that are not necessarily the best or the greatest, we have got to get to a place where we're growing spiritually. Not only that, but we're almost as if that is no longer a test in your life. If that is still a test, if it's still a struggle, if it's still hard, if you still don't like dealing with it, you haven't passed the test. You haven't passed the test. That's a good indicator. If it doesn't get easy, if it's still hard, well, then why would you want God to take it away? Well, I know, because it hurts. But if you just show up because it hurts and then go home, what's the point of all the training, all the learning, all the discipline, all the growing? You got to get through in a way that is successful. God so many times will leave you in a place where you think you need something just to get you through to a better place on the other side of that need. And once you think you don't need it, guess what? He's going to give it to you. You think, oh, well, I don't even need that anymore. Well, here you go. It's kind of like God's sense of humor, right? He said, oh, you made it. You passed the test. You think you don't need it anymore. Here you go. See, it's about Him. It's not about us. We just focused on the wrong thing. We got twisted up on focusing our own situation. So we can't look to the needs for happiness. We can't look to the needs for satisfaction. We can't look to the needs for fulfillment in life. But we do. We do so many times. This is a completely different way to think. You can tell. We have to reprogram ourselves because we need everything. I need to eat. I'm thirsty. I need this. I need ibuprofen. I need blah, 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 blah. I need to go to the bathroom, right? And there's so many needs. God provides in every one of those needs. Every single one. If you're out of something, if you can't find something, if you don't have something, don't stress about it. Just realize, remember, recall the word sufficiency. That's included in God's grace, and it's to everyone, every one of you. It's to you. It's for you. God has given it to you. That's what His grace is all about. It's not deserved, but it's given. And that's what's so awesome about it. That's why it's grace, right? So, otherwise, if we don't think that, guess what we're going to continue to do? Chase those needs. In order, we think we need those needs in order to live, so we're going to live our life according to those needs, not according to God's grace. So it's totally, totally different kind of mindset, concept here. So, and most people are pursuing happiness, which they will unfortunately never find until they look to the source of real happiness. They'll never find it. They're looking for that need, to fill that need, and they can't ever find that sufficiency. Nothing provides it for them. Only thing that will provide it for them is taking the time, putting in the effort to learn and get to know God, the source of all sufficiency. See, if we don't pay attention to the one who gives us everything, what do we expect to get out of this deal? Just what we put in. If we're looking in all the wrong places, that's what we're going to get back. All the wrong things. There's only one place to look. There's only one place to find, and it's the place where there is enough. Everything else is not enough. It won't do it. It won't float your boat. Or it may float your boat for a little while, but guess what? You still got a few holes in that boat. You want a boat that floats, right? So this is really what grace thinking is all about. And like I said, it's very different, but it's why it's not something we can simply talk about. It has to be learned and it has to be put into practice. Otherwise, it's easy to think about what we need. That's the easy route, right? So, verse 2, we've studied this, that in a great ordeal of affliction, their abundance of joy and their deep poverty overflowed in the wealth of their liberality. So there's what's happening in their soul. That's their attitude. You see the words, they were in affliction, they were in poverty, but guess what they did? They overflowed in a wealth of their liberality. In other words, they had a very generous soul. They didn't have anything to give, but that's not the point. Like, well, wait a minute, I don't have anything to give. I'm only making this much. Not the point. They didn't have anything. We're talking about a generous soul here. That's what this is referring to. Verse 3, for I testify that according to their ability and beyond their ability, they gave of their own accord. So you remember, we actually left off with this last phrase, they gave of their own accord. And I think I gave you the definition of that, and it means to be self-chosen. That's it. That's all it means. And all that is telling us is that they made a decision based on their own free will to give, which was what's in their soul, right? Not based on something from the outside pressures of life or their needs or someone else's needs. They were basing why they gave and what they gave based on a self-chosen decision that was not influenced by something external. That's important. That's an important point, because so many pastors and people are influenced by external things, and that's their motivation to give or to be generous. We cannot be influenced by anything external. This is an internal spiritual relationship, and if you're not motivated by what God is doing in your life, you're motivated by something else. So they gave of their own accord. The decision came from within themselves. So remember that, because there's so much pressure in this area of giving. And that's not my goal or idea of giving. If you're pressured to give by anybody, I would say don't give. If you're pressured to help, I would say don't help. If you're pressured to do anything, actually, if you're pressured and you're motivated by that pressure, you're motivated by the wrong thing and in the wrong way. We should be motivated by what is inside our souls, which is what God has given us, right? The grace of God, His truth, His word, that relationship that you have day to day, moment by moment, every single day. That's motivating. That's where the motivation should come from. So it shouldn't come from anything else. Now, if the grace of God is sufficient and He knows our needs, then it's not my role to motivate you by telling you how bad we need something. See the idea? How many churches have you been to where they show you something, the big list of needs, and how bad they need it? Oh, well, man, we really need this. That pastor was torn up over that. He gave us a good sermon on how much. Let's just give. Let's just do. Wrong motivation. You know, that's not glorifying to God when you're pressured by me or by someone else to give. It should be something coming from the inside of your soul. You want to give back to God because He's given you everything. That's what we're talking about here. Not because I'm telling you how much or what we're building. Got a new basketball court, got a new gym, got a new this, got a new that. Nuh-uh. Sufficiency. That's what I'm relying on. That's what you need to rely on. I'm not here to just preach about what we need. Remember, we don't need anything. The last thing I want you concerned about are the things that the sufficiency of God's grace covers. If it covers it, I don't want you worried about it. I don't want you worried about it. And the pastors that preach about all the needs, this and that, you know what? People get tied up over that stuff. They think about it a lot. They dwell on it a lot. They feel, you know, bad about it. They feel guilty about it. They feel like they should be doing something. Those are not good feelings, by the way. Not good motivation to be able to be giving in that situation. So I don't want to give you those, you know, ideas, but rather based on your motivation and your love towards God. Love. This is about a relationship, remember? This is about your relationship and your motivation that is self-chosen within you. This is what it's about. It's about falling and getting to know and falling in love with your Savior and your God and being motivated by that. That's exciting. That's a reason to give. So if you're being motivated by something other than God to give to God's church, I would say then your motivation is wrong. I'm not saying, you know, anything else. I'm not saying, just look, we learn, we live, we learn, and we move on, and we do things differently. That's the grace of God. That's why He's given us, this life to learn, to change, and to do things differently. And I adjust constantly. I'm in constantly adjust mode. You know, I try to set the dial and just leave it there, but it just doesn't work. You're constantly tweaking and moving, and okay, God showed me something else. I got to change my ways in this way. So now, I know probably a lot of you look at me like I'm crazy, but would you believe that we haven't needed anything at this church? Nothing. Nothing. You may think we needed something, but we didn't need anything. We haven't needed anything. God has provided in His right timing in every single need. It's funny though, you know, we have meetings back here and we talk about, you got to talk about things that we think we need, right? That's normal. That's just part of the maintenance and the functioning of a church. But you know, when we think about, if you look back in the past and you think about maybe we had a need here, but we didn't have it when we thought we needed it, we were not aware of God's timing in the whole day. We really did need it then. We thought we needed it, right? We talked about it. We really need it right now. Well, maybe we didn't need it then. And actually we didn't. And God always provided it, didn't He? He did. Every single time He provided exactly what we need. So, but you'll never recognize that until we tap into God's grace towards us. That enough, that sufficiency, we've got to tap into it. So that's the only way we'll realize if we have our priorities straight as far as God's will is concerned. So I think that is actually a decent place to stop. And we will pick back up with this when we come back. So let's pray. Dear Father, we just thank you so much for your sufficiency and grace. Thank you for Jesus Christ's work on the cross, who came to this earth and died for our sins, and then provided that salvation to us in grace freely. For by grace we have been saved, and it's through your grace and through your love and through your mercy is the only reason that you came to this earth to die for our sins. We didn't deserve it. We didn't even need it. But actually, we had a great need for it, to regain that relationship that was broken from sin. And you provided that to us through Jesus Christ. You came and you said, hey, here's the solution. Here's the peace. Here's the reconciliation. And you imputed every single sin known to man into Jesus Christ, who was innocent. And you simply said, hey, if you want this reconciliation on your behalf, if you want this peace that's broken, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. That's how gracious the work of God is. That's how undeserving it is towards us. And we're just so thankful and that we have that. We just ask all these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.